Well, good morning, everyone. This is Chairman Brad Holton. I'll bring the meeting to order. Present is Commissioner Brooks, Commissioner Van Beek. We have a 10 o'clock budget workshop for the Sheriff's Office this morning. And so they will start with their presentation. So good morning, Chief.
Good morning, Chairman, Commissioners. Seems like we just finished. So I have an outline that I think is a good way, at least for us, from a sort of broader perspective in this first budget workshop to talk to you about some items of concern for us. In reading the clerk's letter and trying to adhere to his requests as it relates to trying to come in at or below our previous year's budgets, we have adhered to that, but we have a couple of one-offs that I think we have to discuss that kind of throw us a curveball in terms of trying to meet that guidance as it relates to particularly like furnishing the new sheriff's office. I wish I was coming to this meeting with a little bit more solid information on some of those things, but I can tell you the meetings we have scheduled, and so I've placed some numbers in the budget that we're going to show you today that I believe will likely decrease. Some of those may be substantial decreases, but I'm not in a position as we sit here today due to scheduling and the need to consult with others on some of these things to give you the best information, but certainly within the time frames that are established, I will be able to do that. So I've provided the clerk, the controller, each of the members of the board, and the chief operating officer with a packet that just has an outline of how I'd like to proceed. With your permission,
sure.
For you, we can go through that.
It does.
Sounds good.
I think the first thing that is obviously a concern for all of us because of the size of the expenditure that it represents is the female detention facility. We've had separate meetings regarding that. As we sit here today, we do not have a solidified cost for what that new facility would represent. And we had in our FY 2025 budget for the Sheriff's Office, $1.9 million set aside in the event that we purchased the Pod 6 facility, which we didn't. And then facilities had an additional $500,000 in their budget to upgrade that should we purchase it. So there's $2.4 million in the FY 2025 budget that were sort of designated towards that female facility. I just want us to remember that. What we tried to do, and I really compliment our jail staff, we literally looked at every female inmate for how many days they were in our facility for 3 years. To give you, I'm extremely confident if you look at this female detention facility empirical data analysis, those numbers are accurate. And so you can see in aggregate in 2022, our female out-of-county housing generated $354,170. And then in the subsequent years, you know, it was over a half million, and in 2024, close to $575,000. So those are numbers that were generated with Pod 6 in the limited space that we had. And then continuing on, we've looked at the number of beds that the new facility would represent. We've looked at what our average Canyon County female inmate population is, and what our capacity might be to house out-of-county inmates. And at the current rate of $76 a day, we've given you four benchmarks of what kind of revenue may be generated from that female facility. The reason we did that is that clearly we're not building these facilities to generate revenue. We have to have them to house Canyon County female inmates, but we also, I think, have to consider the fact that we currently, out of necessity, house out-of-county inmates and will continue to do so. And so I think we have to have our eyes wide open as it relates to whatever the projected cost of a new female facility will be and what we might anticipate in terms of revenue. I'm also confident in the numbers in item two. The other thing that I think is important, just last week, we had members of our staff attend the Idaho Sheriff's Association conference, and the new director of IDOC met with them and gave them the most up-to-date data that we have as it relates to IDOC and their plans. And so as you can see in that write-up, as it stands today, there are 2,000 IDOC inmates that are being housed outside of IDOC. 500 of those are being housed out of state at a significant cost. IDOC is trying to address that, but if they accomplish everything they're building by the end of 27, they will have added 1,000 beds, which is only half of the capacity they need. So by my estimation, I'm very comfortable and confident in saying that the need for housing out-of-county inmates is not going to really substantially diminish or abate. And then there's also a little bit of an analysis on the ability with a new facility to potentially house federal inmates. There are certain requirements that the federal agencies have that in the older facilities aren't met. In a new facility, I'm confident we would meet those and have that opportunity as well. So just for the purpose of educating everyone, I thought we should begin with that. And I'm happy to entertain questions or comments, but I wanted to give you the best information I could to help you in the future decisions that you'll make regarding that facility.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Thanks, Chief. The last number I had heard is we were housing 800 in county jails, and this says 1,500.
Yeah.
That's what she told us.
So she spoke last week at the Idaho Sheriff's Association, and that's the number we were given last week.
Okay. Awesome, not awesome. 500 inmates in Arizona. Do you know how much the state pays to house them there?
It's the same amount, $76 a day.
Oh, they screw Arizona like they do us. Okay. Thank you.
Well, equal opportunity. Well, then there's no incentive for them to really build as long as they can house out to other facilities.
Yeah. Other than the cost of
all of the other
getting the
logistics,
the transportation for 500 inmates and you know, the release dates and back and forth, those kinds of things.
Yeah.
All right. Any?
Yep. Chief, sure, I have a question for you.
Yes.
So this is based on the $76 per day rate from IDOC. Is if we hold inmates or female inmates outside of county hold, do we set our own rates for reimbursable operational costs? Or are we bound by the $76?
I'll defer to.
So if we're if we're contracting with another county, we set the cost. We would do an agreement with the county. So like when we were housing inmates out of county, when we were way overcrowded, it was anywhere from $100 to $130 a day, depending on the agency we contract with. So that would be like, so let's say Twin Falls wants to house inmates in our facility, we'd come upon agreement upon them if it was their county inmates. If they sent state inmates over to us, it's still $76 a day.
So it'd be very similar to the juvenile detention.
Mm-hmm.
We have
correct.
For out of county holds.
Correct.
Okay, so this would be a bare minimum revenue.
Yes.
Chairman, I have a question. So the MOUs for the juvenile detention holds, those are set at like $220, if I remember correctly.
$230.
Okay. And so maybe I didn't hear it correctly, but why would an adult prisoner be less than a juvenile?
We typically try to base it off of what our cost per day would be.
Okay.
And so right now our cost per day is about 130 per inmate. So
okay.
I would suggest something like that if we were going to hold for other agencies.
Okay, thank you for the clarification. I heard it correctly. I guess I was wondering if it's in the programming, there's about $100 or maybe $90 difference.
The rules between the juvenile hold and an adult hold is a quantum leap.
Yeah.
So it is.
Meals, all that is.
It's just a lot higher.
Okay.
GED programs, educational programs.
Thank you.
The guard per prisoner ratio.
Okay.
Extremely different.
Thank you.
This funding kind of reminds me of the ambulance and what revenues we don't get to get from certain things.
I think, Chairman, Commissioners, at the end of the day, I just think this is good data. I think it's usable for any projections that you might make, and I think it might be helpful to the clerk as well as we contemplate moving forward on that. I just thought that was pertinent.
Is there any study that would differentiate potential construction costs between a federal holding or an ICE holding compared to a state or a county prisoner? Do we have any study that would help the commission delineate that differential? That would be helpful going forward.
Yes. So, Chairman, I looked for that. I'm not confident in what I found, so I would like to do some follow-up, and then I can bring you the most. I just don't want to misspeak. And
right.
So I think we can
understand.
We can get you that information, so I'll make a note to do that.
I'd appreciate that.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I'm also curious what the feds pay. If the U.S. Marshals Service leases 40 beds, what do they pay per inmate there?
That's part of what I'd like to
find
for you. I'm confident we can get that information, but I couldn't access it in publicly sourced.
Really appreciate you doing this work, and obviously it's a work in progress, but it's super important to get this in the public realm that helps on our decisions going forward.
Okay. If it's acceptable, I'll move on to item number two.
Yes, please.
So this is where I think we will see some adjustment of these numbers moving forward. But these are the proposed projects for fiscal year 2026. And if I can just kind of walk you through each one and tell you the steps I'm taking to try to reduce or adjust costs, I think that would be enlightening for the board.
Yeah, Chairman, I think the chief had a comment on number one before we move on to number two. Maybe I didn't see that correctly, but.
Chairman, sure, if you don't mind.
Go for it.
I'm just kind of a point of interest. I did talk to Director Britton this morning that we might have preliminary numbers on the drawings of the female detention facility next week.
Okay.
So if we get those numbers, maybe in workshop two, we can determine what those look like.
Yeah, that's a game changer.
And it probably will be stretched over two fiscal cycles, so we'll need to do some number crunching to come back on that.
Okay.
I just want to bring that up.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yep. So, Chairman, Commissioners, for FY 2026, again, there's an outlier here, and that's project number four. And I feel confident that we can come up with better, more accurate numbers. That number that's there represents a placeholder. But just very quickly, for each of the projects, these are all, with the exception of project number five, I'll talk about. One through four are really required. So our SWAT team wears body armor when they train and when they go on operations. Unfortunately, for body armor, for both soft body armor and for ballistic plates, there is a 5-year warranty a five-year usable lifespan. In all likelihood, those would last beyond 5 years, but we're getting into really uncomfortable territory if we're using life-saving equipment that by the production date is beyond its usable life. I believe we can come up with there's a quote. It shows you the body armor system that we use. There's a quote for that price. I have asked, we're looking at other vendors, and I have asked to go back to this vendor and seek some clarification on this quote. So that's the high-end number that you see there to outfit 20 vests, and then our plates expire next year. Now, the plates aren't as expensive as the vests and carriers with the soft body armor, but that's the high-end number that you see there. I'm doing everything I can to see if I can't make a change, but really, every 5 years, that's a cost we have to bear. Any questions on project number one?
There's no third party that would research for a certain fee?
No, and we've made that inquiry with the manufacturers. I had that question and reached out, and that's the frustrating part with the soft body armor is it holds up pretty well, but they put an expiration date on it, and so we're forced because of that for both our patrol deputies and for SWAT to recycle the soft armor every 5 years.
Same thing happens in aviation.
Yeah.
Okay.
The second item, you know, is not nearly as big ticket of an item. We have a training room in the new sheriff's office, and it's for defensive tactics, for arrest techniques, for anything that might involve going to the ground. And so as part of the cost of that new facility, the mats themselves were not included, and so there is a quote for the purchase of mats for the mat room. That's 26-2. 26-3, again, is kind of a placeholder. We have contacted somebody who designs gyms. We have received some donated equipment, used equipment that we plan to utilize, but we have somebody who can help us free of charge to let us know what can and should fit in that space. And so we have that meeting
this afternoon.
Oh, it's this afternoon?
Yes.
Okay. Well, we're tracking. So I believe that number will come down, but we just put that in as a placeholder on the high end.
Okay.
26-4 is the one that I wish I could do better as we sit here today, but we have meetings scheduled. So a couple of things. One, Director Britton, in his budget, facilities has been utterly amazing. They came in and said, we can build you an office suite, which includes a desk and file cabinets and so on and so forth, for about $1,200 per office, which is about 25%, is about a 75% savings over going out and buying that commercially.
I would submit it's built way better.
Yeah. So that's a huge lift for facilities, but facilities has indicated that they feel comfortable that they can do those cuts. The key is we need to get the materials all at once so that they can do 50 cuts and you know, basically manufacture that. Director Britton also says that he can help us with our conference room tables. And so what we're really talking about, and he has that in his budget. He has those costs in his budget. So what we're talking about is, you know, we have a lobby that we need a table and some chairs. We have some interview rooms that we need tables and chairs. We have the quiet rooms that we need a recliner. We have the overnight room that we need some twin beds. And then chairs for the conference rooms and places, so on and so forth. So we are meeting with an interior designer to get some help on the lobby I'm clearly not the person to pick out furniture. So we're going to get some help, but with that help, we should be able to dial this down and get it far more accurate. So I apologize for not being better prepared. It's been a massive lift. One of our lieutenants did a spreadsheet, and we've gone literally section by section to say, what do we have that we can take with us, and what do we need to create. Unfortunately, a lot of our furniture is pretty old and outdated, and just for continuity, and I don't want it to look like we went to a yard sale to furnish the new building. And I know the stuff that the facilities will build will be wonderful and usable for a long time, and it will all have the same look. So it's just a tremendous savings to the county that facilities is able to do that. So by the next budget workshop, I'll have that number adjusted considerably.
Chairman, can I just make a comment in support of what the chief is saying? When you arrived here, you put on auction a chair that was from the sheriff's office that was shredded, is the right word? And some of those costs that were not funded, there was a backlog of needs across the sheriff's office that it was delayed purchasing that needed to be done. And so thank you for, I just want to provide support for people that tune in that didn't know what was happening with the process on the budget that was the suggested budget that was presented year after year that held those necessities, even down to, if we jump back to item number one, the sheriff's office had computer equipment that was 15 years old. They had broken handguns. They had things that people were willing to work here, and they put their life on the line literally to do it with broken equipment. And that is not how we chose to go forward as a board. So just in support of what you're saying, some of those needs, I appreciate you looking to see what can go over and stage that. But a lot of that stuff is fully depreciated and shouldn't go to the dump.
Thank you. And then this last project, I'm going to be very cryptic because this is sensitive equipment and technology, so I'd rather not in a public forum elaborate too much on that, but it is equipment that aids us in gathering evidence operationally for our task forces and for our 5th Patrol Team that I believe would provide a significant benefit to the public safety and enable us to do some work that as we sit here today, we don't have the capability to do. So those are our proposed projects. Now, having said that, I asked Dave to give me his best scientific guess. Again, these are our best estimates, but in our 410 budget, B budget for FY 2025, as we sit here today, Dave's estimate is that we will have approximately $180,000 in excess, unspent. On 510, unfortunately, it looks like about $50,000 in the hole because of the cost of foods, the food costs this year were substantial. So point being, as with prior years, as we can come back and consult with the board, I do believe, as I can get these project numbers adjusted, that with the board's permission, as we get further into the year, if I have B budget excess from this year's FY 2025 budget, I'm more than happy to see if I can fund some of these projects, which will further reduce our FY 2026 ask.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Questions about projects?
Nope. Work in progress. We'll see how they morph.
Yeah.
Okay.
So our third item is, however you'd like to, we can go over, we've printed out I know it's a lot of paper, but I like to see it in front of me. We've printed out our overall FY 2026 proposed initial budget. When you see in parentheses with some anticipated adjustments, what I mean by that is what we've just discussed, that I have some placeholders there that I think I can do better. But as we sit here today, and we're more than happy to answer any questions or go line by line, but as we sit here today, because of the projects that we've outlined, particularly the furnishing of the sheriff's office, the good news, I think, is most of those increases are one-time costs, but our 410 budget, our field services budget, is coming in. If you look at page 7 of your handout, as we sit here today, we're at $460,000 over last year's budget. I'm confident I can reduce that number as we move into subsequent budget workshops. For 510, for our security services, I'm pleased to announce that we're $1.3 million less than last year. So I think we beat everybody in terms of reducing our budget. That's obviously because of Pod 6 lease no longer exists. But Pod 6 lease was $1.4 million a year, so you can see that we've kept our 510 budget very, very lean and very much in check. And then the other budgets that follow are dispatch. That's something that we should probably talk about. We have some items in there that we can explain further if needed as we move into anticipated next generation 911. Those costs are coming out of our E911 funds. We have a very healthy, our balance in E911 is approximately $4.6 million. So we're very well positioned to, I'm excited for this new technology and our ability to better serve the citizens when we move into that. We're pursuing state grants for as much of that as is humanly possible, and we are engaged with the interim IT director in pursuing those projects. So dispatch is a little bit, the numbers are a little different because we have some very costly projects, but that doesn't affect the county's budget in terms of where those funds are coming from. Emergency management. As we look at that, well, we have emergency communications. That's where we have the big ones. City County Narcotics Unit, we have a slight increase of $24,000 over last year. And then in emergency management, due to past year's projects, we're able to come in at almost $200,000 under budget from last year. With emergency management, we have some grant issues that are very much up in the air, as with some of our other programs. And we're doing everything we can to get the best data we can for you as it relates to grant funding. Waterways, our budget's a few thousand less than last year. Boating safety, again, our budget's a thousand less than last year. So I'm more than happy to get into more detail here, but I want to compliment our staff on, you know, as we make those adjustments to our 410, good that we've tried very hard to ask for no new positions and to do the best we could to come in as close to last year as possible.
Chairman, I have a
comment that Dave's been really busy.
Oh.
Very busy.
Yes.
I'm just curious if you can provide feedback. Last year, we funded a half-time position for Marine Patrol, how that's working out there at Lake Lowell and on the waterways that we care for.
It's working very well, Commissioner, and in fact, this year, we actually took one of our patrol deputies who had previously been a Marine deputy for the summer and put him out there as well. We have so much traffic on the waterways that we felt like we needed to take a body away from patrol for about 6 months. So we have more staffing on the waterways this summer than at any point in the history of Canyon County. We have three full-time commissioned deputies, two for waterways, one from patrol, and then we have two jail deputies that are, so we have five, you know, commissioned deputies out on the waterways in addition to, I want to say it's three part-time employees for boat inspections and other things.
Okay, thank you for that. And then I know you have ancillary stations out at Celebration Park, and then you have the, what's been on site there by the Parks and Rec office out there. And then there was a, help me remember where they're at with the plans for maybe an expanded.
So, yes, Sergeant Roberts does a phenomenal job at seeking other sources of funding for our boat, which again has been delayed. But he has, we have a grant application in to for that new facility.
Okay.
So we have not heard back on that, to my knowledge, but we are seeking another source of funding to create that substation in the southern area of the county.
Yeah, I really appreciate that, and it's so important that we have someone that can underwrite grants and then be successful, and he's been successful in that. That will benefit the parks, Marine Patrol, and the citizens out there. So let us know how we can help, but appreciate the feedback. Thank you.
Along those lines, as it relates to the new sheriff's office, we are still aggressively pursuing an emergency management grant to fund the construction and outfitting portion of the emergency operations center. Now, that's a bit of a game changer if that comes through, because that really buys us a lot of room in terms of those ARPA funds. So we're Ray, is there any kind of an update on the grants?
The last update that our emergency manager was able to provide was that the grant's been submitted and we're in the review process currently.
Okay. Chairman, I have another question. Yes. I attended a Chamber of Commerce luncheon yesterday where a member of NAMPA's leadership team was in a meeting, and I think Clerk Hogeboom was there too, but maybe provide feedback on opioid funding and potential uses to help underwrite the female detention facility or any of that new out there. Where are we at with that?
Well, the design of that space enables us to provide some individual resources and programming that I believe, as we interpret how that it is, that grant funding is written, that would enable us to qualify for some portion of that, that we could legitimately, through our medical personnel out there, provide some services and information and programming to those inmates in the facility. Is that correct, Bill?
That's correct.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you. It's been hard to get the guidelines to get to the funding that's been provided to fit with what the need is, really, with boots on the ground. So thank you.
Really concise presentation. A lot of information.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I do have one comment on the emergency communications on the next-gen 911. Again, the $1,876,000 through 911 and grant funding will cover that. But we do have a timeline. This is more FYI. We do need to make sure that we have next gen in place before we move dispatch, which really hits FY26. So we're working really heavily with the sheriff's office. So even though we have a dispatch here in the courthouse that is on old technology, the next gen allows us to bring in the new technology to move dispatch. And to go to next gen, it's about a 12 to 18 month process. And we've already about a month into it and working heavily with, like I said, the sheriff's office. But upcoming this fiscal year, you're probably gonna see a lot of MOAs, MOUs, cost sharing analysis about how we're gonna go to that 911 system. So it's just kind of an FYI.
So what percentage of the project will be spent during this budget year?
Probably not a whole lot this fiscal cycle.
This fiscal, but starting next?
Most of it will be FY26.
Does the clerk and treasurer, are you aware of that? So those funds are liquid for that?
Is it a fair assessment, Chief?
First I've heard.
So you're on notice now. It's been stated publicly.
Motorola doesn't, we don't pay until it's the project.
It's running. All right.
So it's going to be.
It's out there.
It's very much towards the end of the whatever that project looks like, and there's a lot of things that are up in the air right now with a post sort of satellite agreement with Ada County, and then with what IPSCC through the state is doing and what they're trying to fund, and so it's an incredibly complicated process. Director Rast has been super helpful. We're staying on top of it. We're right there, but we can't drive the timeline for the decisions that IPSCC will make as it relates. We've already submitted the letters. We've stated we want to be part of that grant, which we believe can pay for quite a bit of this. The number that's in there represents worst case scenario.
So just walking or touring through some of those centers, is facilities involved in the physical outlay of that? Those are reasonably complicated.
Mr. Chair,
facilities.
Director Britton set up a meeting yesterday. We actually went through the schematics of dispatch.
Okay.
We have some follow-up tasks we're actually going to look at today and get back with the architects tomorrow with that information and clarifications. It is moving, and part of that big effort, there's going to be an MOA. It's on your agenda for your consideration tomorrow about GIS sharing. More information on that tomorrow, but that's really one step towards this next gen 911.
All right. Okay. Yep. Sounds complicated.
We've got a lot of big, complicated projects going on right now. Are there any other questions that I can answer, Chairman, Commissioners, as it relates to the budget worksheets? We'll do our best to dial this in subsequent workshops and get the best, most accurate, lowest numbers we can for you.
Okay. Chief?
Mr. Chair, I'm not trying to annoy everybody here. There is one thing that's going through the budget things. I would like to talk about the sheriff's training facility outside by the Georgia Nurse Gun Range. I don't see any money in the budget to keep that leaning forward. In FY25, we had $150,000, and that's done. We paid landfill to earthwork. We've done fencing through the process of procurement. So I'd like to keep that effort going in some respect. Bring that up for conversation if we can.
Okay.
That's an oversight on my part. Thanks for pointing that out. My suggestion would be, I do think we, so again, I'm just so pleased with the cooperation throughout the county. The amount of work that's been done, the quality of the work that's been done out there is, by landfill, it is amazing at a massive cost savings.
Yes.
To the county. There's a couple of things that are sort of in the air right now. We have put in for some federal asset forfeiture sharing that if, according to the rules, that there's a lot of rules associated with any federal funds that we get, and this is through the good work of our task forces. So We should have some cash coming in. I don't know the exact amount yet. It's not a huge amount, but if we can spend it on projects, then the accounting for those funds, you can't commingle them with any. It's a big, complicated mess. So if you can find sort of one-time spend projects with that type of money,
right,
it's a great way to apply federal asset forfeiture funds. But there's a lot of restrictions that come with that. So that's one thing that we're looking at. The other thing that I might suggest is, as we look at that furniture number and reduce that down, perhaps we could shift those monies or some portion of that towards additional development out at that training facility. So I think there's a way to put some money towards that project that doesn't represent a substantial increase to our budget request.
Well, even if we put it as income for the forfeiture receiving those funds, and we just earmark that the expenditures can't be expended until those are realized, at least we have a place setter going forward.
Okay. Anything else?
All right. Will that do it for the B side?
Yep. Item number four, I just wanted to provide you what the cost of the step increase for commission staff would be. So that's in your packet. You can see that it's approximately $52,000 less than the cost of the step last year. I know that this is a very tight budget, but I just would want to remind the board of the luncheon we had. I guess it was a year ago, just about a year ago this week, last May, when we gave you a staffing update at the luncheon that we held. I am pleased to report that our turnover remains at around 3%. As we sit here today, these aren't going to be, these are generally accurate. We have four vacancies on patrol. Those vacancies exist because we've taken personnel from patrol to put into detectives and other areas. It's not because our patrol deputies are leaving us. And then we are filling those vacancies from the jail, which is just a wonderful way of developing and promoting the young people that we hire into the jail. So we have three former jail deputies who are on their peer training officer program. All three successfully, we had four this year, successfully graduate the Idaho Post Patrol Academy. One's already fully passed and certified and is out patrolling in Canyon County, and the other three are engaged in that peer training officer program. And when they graduate, then those three will go to the patrol teams. We're holding testing next week for this year's batch of jail deputies. I have 12 applicants who are looking to go to patrol, and we'll fill those patrol vacancies from the jail. So it's a wonderful system. It's working really well. We have one vacancy in dispatch, one vacancy in our CID, about five jail vacancies, which at any given time, we're going to have a few jail vacancies. The quality and caliber of candidates that we're seeing is remarkable. Just on Monday, I attended a Detention Academy graduation for eight of our jail deputies, and one of our jail deputies was the top academic performer for that class. He's a former IDOC corrections officer who spent 10 years with IDOC, tremendous experience, and left there to come here. So, and we only have three professional staff vacancies, so we're we're doing remarkably well. I have heard, you know, various scenarios that are on the table. All I can say is from my position is that it's my personal belief that our people are the most important asset that we have. And I believe the past 2 years bears out the fact that investing in our people helps us retain that critical talent. It takes me close to 9 months to recruit, background, train, certify, and get somebody up and running. And 9 months is on the fast end of that. So, as you've had submitted in years past, the cost of turnover in the sheriff's office is very significant. And so, we have something that I think is working in that it took that turnover down from close to 30% down to a steady 3%. And I think 3% is, for an organization our size is a very good number. And so I would just make the case that I understand and we'll do everything we can to help in these difficult budget times, but would certainly advocate in the strongest terms possible for those steps to be granted.
Chairman.
Yes.
Last week we sat through a soil conservation request for funding, and I asked the question because I like those. What is it? How long does it take to get bad soil to good soil? I said about a year. And so it's interesting for climate, for culture, for retention, that you can turn the tide and that we can retain at the level that you're talking about. That's a 27% increase. I attribute that personally from my time here to good leadership, to good budgeting practices, to good recruiting. And one of the things that you talked about in one of your first presentations was the ability for employees to move up from within. And so to be able to start at the jail, which is humbling, and then move out to a different position, whether it's detective, whether it's going on patrol. I'm not a police officer, but we hear positive feedback about the things that are happening with the culture and the climate here at the county. People are inherently concerned about public safety, and in Canyon County, our mission has been to support what law enforcement does. So thank you for the positive feedback and that the strategy that was presented is working. You talked about the cost. I don't remember, maybe $140,000 that you have invested in a law enforcement officer from the time that they start. And then if they leave, that's money that just goes out the door with them because they take their training and that intellectual property with them. So good to know, good to hear that you're continuing to recruit really good candidates to be in law enforcement. A 3%, I think, is amazing to get that kind of retention with quality people. It doesn't always work out that people want to be in that and see what you see every day. But I just think it's worth stating again on the record where we started and now where we're at. It's working.
Thank you.
The numbers speak for themselves.
Yes.
Item number five, I met with Director Danner yesterday and was given the new 16 steps within the, I just got that yesterday. I have approximately 19 professional staff employees that I think need a market adjustment. But I haven't had time with that new scale, and since those are individuals that we would be talking about and their specific salaries, it's my understanding that would probably require an executive session. But my request, if it's acceptable to the board, would be to grant me a little bit of time to meet again with Director Danner and make sure that those market adjustments that I'm looking at are appropriate and that she's in concurrence with that, and then perhaps we could just schedule a short executive session meeting to address, because there's at least two of those positions we need to change grades, which requires a resolution, and I think we could do all of that, or at least propose all of that at once. And that would just represent, again, market adjustments for specific employees that we, in our analysis, feel are out of place within their grade or step.
Sure. Yeah, Chief, if we can get that set up with, because we'll need an open, we'll need part open, part exec.
Yeah. Chairman, may I ask a question? And then part of that, and I just glanced at it, but are you using a similar rubric to what you presented before with five different law enforcement agencies, or is this, have we moved past that in your analysis?
Commissioner Van Beek, it's, I guess, a bit of a hybrid answer. So for certain positions, we have sought, I guess, market data to see. And then for other positions, I have some folks that have been in, you know, 20 plus years, and I just think based on their tenure, this is a new system that we haven't had previously, and so I think with some people they're in the appropriate grade. It's just that based on tenure, I don't think they're in the right step, and that's where I need to sit down with Director Danner, because we just now expanded the steps considerably.
Okay.
Talk with her about what's appropriate as it relates to potential market adjustments.
And thank you. I know you're trying to keep that at a pretty high level, so we'll just look forward to, and it looks like the Chief has a question.
I was just going to say, Mr. Chair, on that one, the complication within the Sheriff's Office, they have a pay schedule for commissioned, then they have the rest of the county that's non-commissioned on the professional side, and that's where they work with HR. So what you're referencing, getting the data points on outside entities like cities, that's more on the law enforcement commission side.
Okay.
So there is two different, I guess, compensation rubrics within the Sheriff's Office.
Thank you. We'll look forward to more.
Okay. That brings me to item number 6, other discussion as directed by the board, the controller, the clerk, or I'm even saving you time.
Well, the clerk hasn't weighed in yet, so we'll see where we're at. Or Kyle. Yes, go ahead.
Commissioners, there's still one thing in there that we've looked at and discussed is with the new building and the potential overages on the ARPA funding. But budgeting that or putting an amount in there so that way we have the capacity. And that way it'll prevent later so we can move interest in to pay for the rest of that building versus trying to come up and to do an amendment later, just giving us the revenue and expenditure capacity in our budget as we set it versus doing that later. Just something to consider potentially for the next budget meeting for the Sheriff's Office.
Okay.
All right. So let's, we will budget what's left of ARPA. So just to be clear, ARPA revenue is funding ARPA projects, but any obligations in excess of those funds. So you have the budget authorization to fully expend ARPA. We're not concerned about failing to meet that benchmark. It's just if the final bill exceeds that, that needs to be charged to something other than ARPA.
Right.
So that will have to be likely reflected in their budget. And the other piece is the interest, as it mentioned, is there's interest off ARPA that is not restricted to have to be expended that way. So that is one revenue. It's just right now it's really early. So like maybe in budget workshop 2 or as we near the end, because we're expending ARPA money right now. So I think the intent is to have the ARPA budget reflect what is gonna fully expend the rest of ARPA. But that would just be one.
Well, and if, again, this is what's frustrating, is if we were able to secure this emergency management grant, I think that tips the scales, and so I don't know how to account for that, because it's a complete, I mean, we know the grant used to be there, we've submitted for it, we're pushing for it, it's not a commonly used grant, so we're doing everything we can to pursue that money, because I think that would but I don't know how to account for that in the budget in the event that we get a grant, which we may or may not, as we sit here today. I just don't know. And I don't know how quickly I will be able to get an answer under our current, grant circumstances that exist with the federal government.
If and this is a challenge for all public entities, is how to book the possibility of grant revenue. And so I think most just do an amendment once it's received and book the revenue and tie it to an expense. Or you can project what you think that might be. The challenge there is you're just kind of projecting the possibility of a grant, and then you're obligating the funds with the authorization to spend, and it's all a maybe, and you're just tying those things. So, I mean, that's really your, you know, it's not, I can't say it's anticipated revenue right now because it's a maybe. It's something that they're pursuing. I guess the bigger concern I would have is if the grant is too good, it might actually limit the what's left of ARPA to apply to the project, because it would displace are you just talking about furnishing a floor but not actually displacing part of the cost associated with the building project?
The grant, as I understand it, would actually pay for the construction and furnishing of an emergency operations center. So what we would do is we would look at the square footage of that part of the space and say, what's our cost per square foot? And then what's the cost for furniture and monitors and all the other stuff that goes in? And you know, as with all grants, they might say yes to part of it and no to some of it. But at the front end of it, Ray, do you know what amount we submitted for?
I don't have the figure that we submitted for, but I am aware that this is a 75-25 split match grant, so we would be required to match 25% of funds, and those cannot be ARPA funds, so those would have to be Canyon County funds.
Chief?
Yeah, from the Sheriff's Office, Deckerson's $2
million. Okay. I'm not worried about $2
million. No, neither am I.
That's not going to supplant the obligation.
Right.
Clerk, what I think I want to do is, even if we have some on the side meetings, I'm concerned the ARPA money, God forgive the public, but the majority of them have never clearly understood that and how it went in and out of the budget. And now as we're getting down to actually spending them, and you're talking about spending more than them or not getting to spend all of them, it adds yet more substantiation to their confusion. So I'm concerned about how we're going to document this. And I agree with the clerk that we need to get this clearly, what Kyle has brought up. We need to be able to clearly put this in on line items and be able to explain it. And as of today, I'm a bit muddled how I personally would like to see that. But I think we have one chance of doing this well and being able to communicate. And I think we just, you bring up such an important point that we need to do that. And all of this is still up in the air today. And I think we can still figure out a way to do it, even with some of the issues that are still in the air. Kyle.
Commissioners, yeah, from the budgetary standpoint, there should be a revenue line for what I mentioned earlier about the interest, so that should be delineated there. And then under capital lines, presumably as well, there should be a line delineated to that cost associated with that. So they should be in the sheriff's budget, lined out in a manner that you can see that. And then how we've done in the past for the past few years, ARPA will be ARPA. It will be
right.
Itself also delineated separately, and as well with the budget book process we've done as well, it just maybe all additionally providing like a little verbiage in the sheriff's office budget, just there's these additional two lines and this is what it's for and this is not, you know, this is or is not our
right.
Just to help alleviate, like you said, confusion.
Confusion.
Yeah. Okay. Chairman, that's a great point, and I support, that's where I was going, is to put that in the budget book, because I would doubt the people that misunderstand that and propagate inaccurate information or listening here to get clarification on really what those ARPA funds, how that revenue is booked and what it's spent for. They don't understand it. So thank you for bringing that up.
I have this saying, and it's worked really well. We have to be able to be measurable, repeatable, and defendable. And that's all I'm asking for, is to make those lines so the numbers are there. You can go at it from different directions, and you can end up with the same sum.
Mm-hmm.
And that will I can't solve the keyboard warriors that are out there that choose not to understand, but I can, working with the clerk and the sheriff, make a document clearly delineates how the monies are running through and how we're going to get to an end of a completed building.
Right.
And then just, Mr. Chair, just as for an audible record, just as a reminder, the ARPA has to be expended by December 31st of 2026.
Yes.
For any projects that are designated for ARPA. So we have to really call for all of it out in the budget process to have it spent.
Yes.
And Chairman, can I say this back? It's already been stated. It's just, I'm going to say it differently. Even if we receive the grant funding, the Sheriff's Office has presented a modest budget. If you needed to fund different projects, you could find ways that are still an efficient, good use of that money to put into the building or use somewhere else. So I don't see that.
Yeah, Chairman, I think we're good. Thanks for the direction. We will work on those lines, and then in the second workshop, we'll have something. And if they get the 2 mil, I'm not worried about that.
Right.
Yeah.
Causing us to, because you could also furnish the building probably with ARPA, and it's the project. So, like, if we actually have a situation where, and as Chief Rass mentioned, the monies already have been committed. That was a legal requirement, and they're committed to that building. So, as for the grant, we could talk a little bit more whether to just have a placeholder of potential grant revenue, but we'll try to supply the interest revenue, and that would also probably qualify for the match based on what was said, the 75-25. So though it's ARPA interest, it's not ARPA. So it would meet the qualifications, because the ARPA interest is technically our
it's
unrestricted cash.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a great point.
All right. Well, you have a complicated budget. All right. Anything else for today? Sounds like we got several things that we need to be working on before we meet again. And we haven't set the second go-around date. Have we have that on the calendar?
Yes.
It is?
Dates are set.
For the audio record, let's look that up. So those that are following this will be able to put that on their calendar.
Good idea.
Set for June 9th.
Okay. So for the public, the follow-up workshop for this budget will be on June 9th. It will be noted on our agenda. If that were to happen to change by a few days, that will be also posted on our agenda if there's a change forward or backward from that date, which I would imagine would be forward and not backward. So anyway. Anything else for today?
Just thank you, Chairman, Commissioners. We'll do the best we can for you and for the county, and appreciate your patience as we try to dial in a few of those ambiguities that we weren't prepared to address today, but we're doing our best.
Sure. Absolutely.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Yep. Well, that's it. I'd make a motion we adjourn.
I will second.
All right, motion has been made and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Let's be adjourned. Thank you.